Frankly, the municipal bond market has never been more important and more front and center to the potential recovery or not of the United States. This has been a huge issue of contention as we look at the finances of some of the biggest cities absolutely get demolished. Eric Kozatsky, who covers all things munis for us here at Bloomberg Intelligence, joining us now. Eric, let's just get started with the state of play. How decimated are state budgets at this point?
I mean, if you look at California as sort of the bellwether, it's pretty bad. They're signaling about a $54 billion budget hole. That's pretty significant. And it really is going to vary from state to state, but you're not only seeing the fallout from sales tax collection, but with these unemployment numbers, they're obviously going to take a hit on the income tax side as well.
So, Eric, I know a lot of the governors have been talking about that the next round of fiscal stimulus has to include aid for state and local governments. What's the expectation in the marketplace about how that will play out?
You know, a couple weeks ago, it was more mixed, obviously, when you had Senator McConnell banging the drum, you know, as far as bankruptcy talk. Obviously, that's sort of been pushed to the background right now as cooler heads have prevailed. But I've seen estimates anywhere from $500 billion to a trillion. Huge numbers. And I think they're still trying to figure out what the best way to hash this out. You had some Fed officials come out this morning and say, no doubt, state and locals need help, and they need more than what was being talked about before. But I think there's also a sector of the municipal world that is not as addressed, and we've heard some comments start to leak out from the Feds talking about helping colleges and not-for-profit hospitals as well. That would obviously change the calculus of how much is actually needed.
So I'm struggling to understand the way that risk is being priced into the municipal bond market at this point. I mean, clearly there's a ton of it with the likes of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell raising the specter of bankruptcy. But does it make sense to you that, say, the MTA is being charged rates that are higher than those of Mexican government debt to borrow money? I mean that actually could make sense as a subway user. I'm just wondering, though, you know, does the risk seem appropriately priced?
That's a loaded question. well, I mean, it really is, because risk is very subjective, right? And if you look at the essentiality of the MTA and what they provide and just the inability to come in and sort of create a new entity like that, you know, I think what they paid in the marketplace, sort of given their financial situation right now, wasn't that unrealistic. I think the bigger challenge is trying to reprice risk with some of these state and local governments, such as the state of California, where they're a huge percentage of U.S. GDP, and how is that accurately marked to market going forward? And I think that's sort of some of the issues that muni bonds are struggling with in general, and we see that even more exacerbated in the high-yield area of the market. I think the one thing that munis have going for them is the amount of flows that are coming in as far as cash coming back to investors. And I think at least for the next 3 months, that's really going to hide some of the credit issues that are sort of bubbling to the surface now as people are clamoring to get reinvested.
So, Eric, give us a sense of what like a state like California would do with this $54 billion budget hole. What typically happens? What can the states typically do to kind of get through these tough times?
Well, you have a couple options. You can use your rainy day funds, which California was lucky enough to come into this issue, with a sizable cushion at about $21 billion, immediately drew down about $2 or $3 billion of that. I wouldn't be surprised if they used the balance of that. But, you know, look, it really comes down to raising taxes or cutting expenditures. Neither are going to be politically popular.
I'm also struck by the idea that some of the states that have been hardest hits already had high tax rates relative to other states around the country. I mean, how much of a limitation do these regions have to raise them further for fear of pushing people out of the state?
You know, this has been a sort of a debate that Joe Mysak and I have had about whether high tax rates are the cause of out-migration or whether it's just, you know, retirees seeking, warmer weather. And, you know, while we can point to high tax areas losing population, I don't think we can definitively say that it's because of the tax rate. It really could be more of the age or demographics that are actually moving out. So, you know, I think that's yet to be seen, especially in areas that are bordering other states that have high employment opportunities, such as New York, where you can go to Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Connecticut and find work in other areas.
So, Eric, just quickly here, you mentioned higher education. I was shocked to read an article in Bloomberg Terminal earlier this week about even Harvard is going to have huge, huge billion-dollar-plus losses this year. But, of course, they've got a big endowment. How about some of the smaller, mid-sized institutions? Are they really at risk here?
I think so. I mean, look, there's no doubt that there's too many colleges, too many universities offering similar services. And, you know, sort of thanks to the subsidization of the federal government as far as providing student loans, they've been able to increase tuitions. And really, the fundamental model of higher education is built on constantly increasing enrollment and constantly charging more money. And I think what we're going to see here is a pain point as, you know, either enrollment declines coming into the fall or the value proposition of some of these smaller liberal arts colleges is really pushed to the forefront as parents sort of sit with their children and say, hey, are you better off attending a community college for 2 years and figuring out exactly what you want to do when you grow up?
Interesting. I'll have to pay attention to that. Eric Kazatsky, municipal bond strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence, giving us an update on some of these state and local governments. I mean, I think as Eric pointed out, Lisa, really going to be strapped here, really going to have to face some very difficult decisions coming up.
Yeah, I know that New York City, for example, isn't going to open pools or beaches, even regardless of the coronavirus, simply because there isn't enough money to pay the staff to man them.
Wow, that's okay. That's going to be an issue for folks in the city. So, yeah, we'll pay attention to that story. But hopefully the fiscal stimulus coming up, the next round, will include money for states and local municipalities. We'll stay on top of it. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Markets is brought to you by Build America Mutual. When the market is unpredictable, BAM gives you certainty. BAM-insured municipal bonds deliver default protection, value preservation, and a durable rating. Ask your broker about BAM-insured municipal bonds.